Well, for those among us visiting, we began a series in 2 Thessalonians a few weeks ago, and we've reached actually the end of chapter 1. And this prayer that we find in verses 11 and 12. We have been seeing how God makes a distinction between those, his people, who are oppressed and those who oppress them. And he makes a righteous judgment. And he reckons as his own those who endure those persecutions, and he will uphold them and reward them with the glory of heaven. Not so for those who oppress. We see there the very strong words, aren't they, just what it speaks of: flaming fire, vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everlasting destruction. Solemn things, friends, aren't they? Solemn things. But that is the distinction he makes, his righteous judgment. And his people, well, they will be on that day admiring him among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. They trusted. They believed in that day. They believed it would come. That one day the Lord would appear from heaven. They were alive at that time, but if they weren't, no matter, they'd still be with him. And that would be a day of triumph. Well, we have then this prayer. And in a way, feeling weight of persecution and the trials that these dear people were experiencing. We note there, and we noted before, don't we, that he is so moved by them. He is bound to give thanks. It's just so fitting. He's compelled to. The evidence of their faith and their love, their endurance, means that he makes a boast of them. He speaks of that church to all the other churches. Really should see what God is doing among those people, how they're responding, how they're standing. That's what he's saying as he travels and he meets with other believers. So this prayer that comes at the end, well, very fitting, isn't it? But having sort of rehearsed the troubles they're facing, he then prays for them. He prays an apostolic prayer for them. Not dissimilar to many other prayers that we find in the New Testament that are prayed for believers. And of course, which we can too pray for ourselves and for each other. But also this, and here's the heading tonight: work towards what we pray for. Work towards what we pray for. In other words, if that's something that we're to pray for, whether for ourselves or for other people, then that is also more than a hint that those are things we should be working towards. Here is the mystery, and we're going to try as best we can to say a little about a very big subject this evening. How there is this work of power within us to do the very things which, in the end, you and I have to do. God isn't going to do it for us. It's not just going to happen that you stand back and watch as you become holy or you just do God's will. No, you and I have to do it, don't we? Mighty difficult it can be at times. There is help. And what we find in the prayers that are here spoken show us what actually we should be desiring to be anyway. Praying for it, but also doing it. Working towards these wonderful, high callings that we have as believers. This is what it means to be counted worthy, isn't it? It's there again. It's there in verse 5, and it's here again in verse 11. This thought of being counted worthy. Not because we have a righteousness that our works have obtained. We know no such thing. We rely only on Christ's righteousness for heaven, for any hope of pardon in the sight of God. Having received it, we want to live a life that shows that we believe it and benefited from it. And we've understood that this is a gift, extraordinary kindness. And we want to respond by finding out, well, what is the will? The one who has been so, so generous to me. I want to find out. I want to do it. And in finding out and doing it, in living a life that shows we've understood just what we've received, then that is to be counted worthy. That's the kind of life that shows, in the words of today, that we got it, that it's dawned upon us, and we're living in the light of that, responding as we should. So we're accounted worthy, because of Christ, surely, but we pray that we may act worthy, that we may be Christ-like, that the life that is pleasing to him, we may readily embrace it and say, that is the life that I want to live too. Lord, help me so to do. People talk, don't they, about being fit for heaven, meet to be in heaven, in perhaps older language. But that's what we're aiming for here, that we will be fit for heaven, that our arrival there, the kind of people that we have become through our Christian life, won't mean that we're going to be absolutely shocked to be there. This was nothing like we expected. Indeed, that the residents of heaven may be shocked at just how little progress that we'd made. Now, in many ways, very unsuited to the company of heaven that we were. Now, we want to be fit for heaven. And so we pray for that, for ourselves. We pray for other people to follow the apostles' direction here. But we also see that these things, what we've spoken about here, that is to become our aim too. We pray it, and then with God's help, we do it. We just pray it, just wait for something to sort of happen. No, we're going to be active and busy. And therein is the mystery of the Christian life, of divine power. And yes, you and I, having at times to make some difficult choices and really demonstrate that that's the direction we want to go. Not that one, even though that might seem easier. So my first heading, praying spiritual things for people. Yeah, pray spiritual things for people. It's right and proper in its place to pray for our bodily needs. And we, as a fellowship, have many, let me assure you. We are a people with many ailments and very many needs. But don't lose sight of the fact of this, that actually spiritual needs are imperative. Yes, help for the body, but we're praying here for something I'm going to show in a minute, I hope, that will have actually demonstrable benefit for us in our physical needs. Pray for these spiritual needs that we have. For what is this thought here? As Paul would say, he's praying always. We pick up that always idea that we can be so sporadic and feeble in our prayer life. No, we're to be always on this. That our God would count you worthy of this calling. This calling, this heavenward calling. This calling in Christ. And here are the things that go with this. Fulfilling all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is a work, may I suggest, indeed. That work within the souls of his people. A spiritual work. This is not something that is just sort of vague. What does all this mean? I can't get hold of it like a bar of soap. I just can't hold the thing. It slips out of my hands. I want to suggest to you that this is very substantial. Very substantial. And that it makes a huge difference when it happens in us, when it happens in other people. The answering of these prayers makes a huge difference to the people that we are. And we're praying then for that work of grace. If you notice there, it's according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ, that having spoken of those things perhaps, well, we have to be very much putting things into practice. But we're looking ever for that grace of God, that divine power, that faith with power from God. But it is that we might desire those same worthy things that God desires us to desire. And to fulfill God's will, not our own will, but his will. And his will is that we desire those things that please him. Things that accord to the good pleasure of his goodness. Works of faith where we put forward our trust in him, perhaps in some difficult places and difficult times, where we choose that way. And that pleases him. That is fulfilling the good pleasure of his goodness. That is living in a way that is worthy of that calling. And that is the way, actually, that we will bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, it isn't something vague. It's actually something very practical. And it isn't something that you pray it, and what was all that about? but is it going to show? It's going to show in the kind of people that we are. It's very practical. Because that change within, in the very depths of the soul of man, where God works to make these things to happen, to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, is going to mean that we are different, the same. And what we do will not be the same. We may do some of the same things, but we'll do them differently. We'll bring something a little bit different, an extra, something more of divine grace into those things. We might do more things, because other things have declined in their importance, and the energy that once our minds gave to them, and the worries perhaps, or the fears there that sucked away energy. Well, that's reduced. And now we're doing more things for him. We've got more capacity, more space, because that inner work in the depths of the soul has brought something more of God's good pleasure to fulfill his will. And that is always going to be a good thing. That's taking us nearer to Christ. That's making us more fit for heaven. That's enabling us to walk worthy of this calling. It's the renewal of the inner man. We talk of that, the inner man, that inner person, that which is indefinable, yet absolutely critical to what we are as human beings who have been renewed, born again, the Spirit renovated in that way by supernatural power. And it continues to be supernatural power. I don't think you pray this and you feel something. As if, I felt that, whatever it is, that warm glow has just gone through me. Or some sort of electricity just sort of made my hairs stand up and felt something go through like a frisson. No, don't expect anything like that. Don't expect there to be some kind of experience that always goes when this prayer has been answered. And you say, that is it, I've now received this. Something's gone in a bit deeper. You will experience it, but not in that way. Not like some sensation. Not what you might get from a trip to the movies or whatever. You'll know it when you experience the challenges of life and the choices that you and I have to make. And when we are facing dreary times, hard work, hardships, difficulties, and yet we're able to prevail, perhaps. And we're able to prevail in a way that is more value added than previously. Why, we even bring some joy to it. We even bring some extra hope into the whole equation. That's an experience, I would suggest, and that is worth everything. Because that's spiritual. That is a reality. We are feeling, if you put it in words, a feeling, a power, and a help in those times of just living everyday life and the choices that we're making. And especially, perhaps, when they are at their hardest. Resisting temptations. Able to stand more opposed to things which once used to overwhelm us and completely unman us. Now something's happened within. There's more. We've got more resistance here. We're more proofed against it. We've got stronger reasoning and arguments that we bring against that temptation. We find we can pass through a little less touched by it, a little less troubled by it. We can see, well, that was power. That was God. He's done something in me. Yes, he's answered these kinds of prayers that we have in verses 11 and 12. Immensely practical. Immensely practical. So this is what we should be praying. And we offer the thought that in not praying this kind of help that we need in the depths of our being and praying it for others, well, that's why at times we are so weak. At times we are so faithless and not coping so well with it. Pray these things. It's immensely, immensely practical. You look out in the wider world of Christendom, and it's grievous. It's grievous to see that there can be so much Bible, and so much singing, and so much far more energetic preaching than I can manage to sort of drag out of my poor frame. All kinds of things. And yet the behaviour and the immorality that's going on, and speak of the ministry in that way, people that are supposed to stand here and proclaim, and the things that they're doing in private are shocking. We've all been grieved over this latest report to has been done on child abuse within sort of religious settings. We fear them. There's much there to grieve over in the wider church in this country, and plenty of other stories from other nations besides that. And this lack of something that was missing in there, a lot of talk, a lot of Bible talk, you could even say, but something of this power within, something of this change, this fundamental working of God's good will and purposes in the soul, not happened. Yeah, I wonder what they were praying for. You wonder how they were praying for it. Were they bringing faith to bear upon it? Or just half-heartedly saying the same things again and again? And such prayer, when we pray it for one another, it helps us to relate to each other as spiritual people. That we remember that in Christ Jesus, in this life, supernatural life of walking with God, of having interaction with him in prayer, of our mortification of the flesh and this work of sanctification, that it helps us remember what it's about at the end. It's about you and I living according to God's word, fulfilling the purpose of his will, living for his glory in this fallen world that we might one day reach heaven. Keeps the big things in focus. And so where we are, in the context of our lives, the challenges we face, like health difficulties, whatever else, it puts it in that wider context. And we remember that we are spiritual people, each of us, and that's what we need. We need the work of God's grace within the soul. Well, I mentioned that perhaps some of health and our situation there can relate to some of these spiritual things. It's an interesting passage. I'm not going to open up the entirety of it here this evening, but James chapter 5. Let's hear him from verse 13 to the end of verse 16. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. How interesting. How intriguing. I don't read from that, and I suggest you shouldn't either. A kind of blanket promise of healing everywhere, anytime, all the time. But we read here, don't we, that sins being forgiven, bodily help, confessing your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Ah, the body, the soul, what a mystery. Well, not all of our conditions and ailments have anything to do with sin at all. Lots of them there, the fall. And we just have to accommodate ourselves to the fall. Bodies are not going to be perfect this side of glory. But think in the world, how much anxiety, depression will correlate with people who've had abortions, perhaps, or failed marriages and the betrayals that come with that. How many difficulties and injuries that people have committed to each other, and burdened consciences, and it finds its way into the body. It finds its way into that and introduces burden and sadness there. Not all burdens and sadness have that origin, but James suggests here some do. And there is prayer, the prayer of faith, praying for each other, and it avails much. That's what he's saying, isn't it? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So pray for each other. Pray that where there are troubles of the soul, where there needs that work within guilt and unconfessed sin and injuries done somewhere in the past, either to ourselves or by us to others, that those issues get addressed. That we open our hearts before God, perhaps before each other, pray for each other. And even if we can't name specifics, and confidentiality, of course, will mean we can't name all specifics for everywhere, all time. But to pray for people, that these things, the fulfilling of the good pleasure of God's goodness, however that will be defined, however that applies to you and to me, will come to pray for it fervently, that we might see that prevailing prayer avail much. So we are spiritual people, and just to take another just for instance, I'm turning here to Colossians chapter 1 and just a few words really from verse 10, but it's similar. You see what's being prayed here? Again, it's a prayer that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Ah, that's that being counted worthy of that calling, right? Fully pleasing him, getting that coming through, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in our knowledge of him. What he's like, how he works, what he can do, his power, the scope of it, what he can touch within the depths of our being that has yet remained untouched, how he can come and bring blessing and healing there. And there we are, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. That's what we are, strengthening with all might. It's happening in the depths of the soul, and mighty wonderful it is, dear friends, mighty wonderful. So we have to have a big view of a big God who does big things in small people, very ordinary people, but he can do extraordinarily large, exceedingly good things, helping us forwards so we can make better choices, discern better, see danger, react quicker. So pray spiritual things for people. Second heading, life goals. Life goals. Goals of our life. Well, we're seeing, aren't we, that we should be shaped by the will of God. And that should be our desire. We want to will the will of God. We want to have the fulfillment of the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power in us. That is our desire too. And we work towards that in our thinking, in our repentance, in everything that we're about, that we're looking to be conformed to that. That's what we're working towards. What we're praying for, that God's will be fulfilled in us. Need power? There's his power in verse 11. Sure. We're calling on God to help us to desire and to do the very thing we know he wants. And we're desiring that it increasingly will be the thing that we want. That we're not going to argue. And we're not going to find fault with his counsel. But we are desiring to desire what he wants. We want it to become our resolve, our determination, our love, our ambition. There's nothing we would wish to get in the way of it. That such a change will be effected. To do the will of God doesn't become a harder thing. But something we're more ready, willing to do, more attuned to it. Hearing it and expecting, I thought that's what he meant. Because already that has been maturing within us, in the depths of our being. So that will be our life goal. And just turning here to 2 Peter, to chapter 1, verses 10 to 11. Because it has an ultimate end. That's going to be my final heading in just a few moments. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 11 begin to just show us how that will all end. He says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. That's finishing the race well. That's having been walking worthy. That you almost just slip from this world. You're already prepared for glory. You've already been made meet for it. And you are entering in there with kind of full vigor. Your whole direction of travel was towards heaven. Not suddenly finding yourself there, even as a believer, that you had left a lot undone. A lot of things that you could be blamed for that you hadn't attended to. No, he is saying, don't be doing that. You want to make your call and election sure. You want to be diligent, for if you do these things, you won't stumble. And if you just look back a few verses, you'll find out what those things are. And they're immensely practical. I'm reading from verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 1. But he says, for also for this very reason, giving all diligence, there it is, diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. there is our life's goal. We want our will to conform to that. We want to do those things. We want to be those things. We want those things not to be unnatural to us. Oh, we're so reluctant in self-control. Perseverance, really, must we? Godliness, doesn't that sound weary? We don't want that. Brotherly kindness, we want it to come from the heart. Love, we want that to reach its highest pitch, not be an afterthought, or something that's rather ham-fistedly conducted or enacted. We want something spontaneous, instinctive from the heart. And that is what we're looking to God in answer to this prayer to fulfill in us. That we will the will of God. That there would be a greater willingness in us to will the will of God. To catch other people's attention. Not to say, look at me, doing whatever it is that I'm doing. Doing the will of God. Say this. Oh, it's not about that. Or reading off your approval from others. There's only one person in this equation we're interested in. That is the Lord. We want to be fully pleasing to him. And to have that life within, the soul, that is more and more willing what he wills from a kind of spontaneous sort of spiritual desire. Not the flesh always and the world trying to push us into its direction, but a readiness, willingness of soul. Oh, that God may answer this great prayer here. And so finally this, the ultimate end. Well, it's heaven. It is that entrance that will be so abundantly supplied. It is that place. For where are we most to be glorifying Christ? What would glorify him the most? Well, it's us having finished the race and kept the faith in heaven. We will be there as an expression of his generosity and of his love. We will be glorifying him, magnifying him, because it will show that this was his wisdom. It was his power. It was his grace, his love and tenderness. It was his rebukes and his chastisements. It was him. He is responsible for me being here in heaven. My presence here, nothing I've got to say about myself. In the end, I only learnt to will what he willed, and there, no great credit to me that. I simply saw the perfect way that he had laid out in Scripture and obeyed it. It's him. And our presence there will glorify him. Read in Ephesians chapter 3 how in this deep, deep purpose of God, to the intent it says that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. For angels to marvel at. But there is God's manifold wisdom revealed. This plan of salvation, which worked. With a Saviour dying in such agony and seemingly such abandonment, could he by that have accomplished all this? Most certainly he did. And angels will wonder at that. And we'll be able to look at each other and wonder at each other. Christ has done for you what he's done for me. Well, he brought you here. Weren't we the most unlikely specimens? Weren't we the most slow learners? And he persevered with us, and prayers like we're seeing here before us were answered in us. And something happened and kept happening. And as we prayed and prayed for each other, it kept happening. Changing. We began to love self-control, love to love. We began to see that these ways are so much better than the ways of the world. Found peace to our soul, our consciences were more at rest. Oh, friends, what ends we were made for, and all of it in the end will be a testimony to him, to his wisdom, his grace, his love, and his power. We will be like handiwork display, his handiwork. We will be those. We have to see what they did there. The sanctification. How those habits changed. How that way of speaking altered. How different they were after that period of time. Didn't come easy, no it didn't. They persevered because God was at work, persevering in them. And his goodness they now reflected. What a work that was. What a piece of handiwork. What a masterwork of God's good pleasure working in sinful people to transform them. And we'll marvel at what he's done. We'll say, isn't it amazing? Isn't his work amazing? Is it not wisdom beyond anything that the world could teach, the self-help books, all the various manuals on this? Well, he knew the best way to do it, and his spirit was given to that very end. And then, too, it says that we also will be glorified in him. And that is a prospect, isn't it? I've got time to reopen that up. Priests and kings to our God. That's what it says we are. People like us, shambling along at times, and tired and weary at times. No, friends, he has called us to a very high calling, and he will share his glory with us. We will be seated with him, already are, in prospect in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ruling cities, is it? Judging angels, do we read? What an end that we were created for. And we're working towards that end now. And we're looking to be conformed to what that life in heaven is all about here and now. Holy company. That's what's there. And we want to be holy here. Resurrection power. Our bodies will live as such. Then we want to know that resurrection power now. To change us. To subdue our baser affections. And to enlarge God's affections within us. So the prayers are here. Oh, they're prayers, aren't they just? That's one prayer we can find, and we've read portions of other prayers like it. And we, as we pray it, do remember that's our calling, to be those very things. Oh, God, make me to will it. Make my will your will, that I may bring glory to Christ. So on that day, when we all enter into glory, may be seen just how much he did in you and in me. New creatures, yes, but how new we became when we left the old and embraced the new, his will. And those things will be a source of conversation all eternity and will all magnify power, wisdom, grace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.